My God provides. Amen? He provides all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And so we're going to pray over this message this morning. Father, we thank You for the word of the Lord as it goes forward. Lord, because Your word is quick, it's powerful. And it cuts between the soul and the spirit. And Lord, as things need to be cut away this morning, we thank You that You cut. And Lord, as You cut, we thank You that You pour into us. Because as You take things away, Lord, You give us Your truth. And You plant Your seed within our hearts. So Lord, we thank You, God, for the teaching of the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. So here, let's go. Let's read the front of our card. And we'll also be up on the PowerPoint. This is the proclamation on the front of our card. You are Jehovah Jireh, my God, who will provide. The Lord is my shepherd. I confess I lack nothing. Your grace is sufficient for me, for Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. You know what my needs are, even before I think to ask. Cast all my care upon You, my Father, for You care for me. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that through His poverty I might become rich. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because I know Your name and I have put my trust in You, Lord, You have not forsaken me. You are my God who provides. And at the bottom of your card, you see all the scripture references that go with these declarations. And these are powerful declarations to make every day over your life, over your businesses, over those that you're connected to. Because the Word of God performs what it's sent out to do. And there is no reason for us to have lack in our house because the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. We shall not want. We shall not lack anything. Ever. That's good, Terry. Ever. Because God supplies. And so declaring the word of God, we've got to speak it. Words have power. Words have power, so we release the word of the Lord over us. Yes. Instead of releasing sayings like, I'll never get ahead. Yes. I'll always be behind. Yes. No, God's word said, we're the head and not the tail. Amen. We are the lender, not the borrower. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. It may not look like that right this minute, but it will. When we trust God. Because God is not a man that He would lie. Hallelujah. He keeps His word. He's faithful. And we've just got to believe it and keep decreeing it and have confidence in it. Amen. Let's go to the back side. It has on the back 5 basic principles for prospering. And so we're going to read through these 5 basic principles. And we're ready. God's provision in His promises. If we fail to claim God's promises, we cannot expect to receive His provision. Should we read that again? God's provision in His promises. If we fail to claim God's promises, we cannot expect to receive His provision. Now, when we're claiming God's promises, that means that we are going to obey God's promises. God has an order of giving in the house of God. There is an economic system in the kingdom of God. And if you want to be a part of God's economic system, then you've got to follow the plan that He has laid out in His Word when it comes to giving. You know, if you don't sow money, you're not going to get money. If you don't plant an apple seed, you're not going to get an apple tree. We plant, we sow what we have need of. And we plant above and beyond. Hallelujah, by faith, when God tells us to. So God has a tithing system in the house of the Lord. And that's 10% of our earnings. 10% before taxes. Tell your neighbor it's before taxes. That's a question we get asked many times. Is that before taxes? Well, yes, it is. Hallelujah. And so we give 10%. And God allows us to steward 90%, because in reality, 100% belongs to God. Amen. You wouldn't have money if God didn't provide you with the breath of life to be able to earn it. Is that true? Amen. You can't make yourself breathe. If God wasn't helping us breathe right now, we wouldn't be breathing. He is the breath of life. And so He has given us the strength, the energy to be able to work. Amen? And if you're unable to work, God still provides for you. And He tells us not to worry about that, because He feeds the sparrows. And isn't it wonderful? I mean, spring is here, and you get up and you hear the birds singing their song. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. God is so good. Let's read the next one, see what it says. 2, the promises are our inheritance. Old Testament, promised land. New Testament, land of promises. The children of Israel were going into the promised land. But as the New Testament church, the body of Christ, we are entering, or have entered, the land of promises. So God has promises in His Word for us. Wherever we live, you see, they were going into a designated area that was the promised land. Now we have the land of promises, no matter where we live. God's promises work for us. Whether we're in Indiana, or we're out in Arizona, or we're someplace else, God's promises are going to work for us. Because they're eternal. Amen? They're eternal. Okay, let's go to 3. God's promises are the expression of His will. When we know God's will, we pray with confidence. When we know His will. Let's go to 4. All God's promises are available to us now through Christ. Every promise that fits our situation and meets our need is for us now. Let's read 5. The fulfillment of God's promises does not depend upon our circumstances, but upon our meeting God's condition. An outstanding example of this is Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, when God fed nearly 3 million people without any natural resources. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Your promises that You provide for us. And this morning, the word that really caught me, and I taught on this weekend, is that word confidence. Confidence. Do we have confidence in the Word of God, and do we trust Him? And so this is not on your outline. You're going to have to take notes or just listen by the Spirit of the Lord. But in 2 Peter 1:3, the scripture says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. So I am confident this morning that God is aware of everything that concerns me. He's aware of everything that concerns me, that He has not forgotten one detail of my life. He hasn't forgotten anything in this life, in this natural life, these natural circumstances that we live in every day. We're in this world. We are flesh and bone right now, but someday we're going to have a new body. Someday we're going to get out of, there's going to be a new earth, and so we're still going to be on the earth, but hallelujah. We're going to get out of this world as it is, because God is going to destroy this world. So we are confident that God has everything for us, and it is through our knowledge of Him. So how well do you know God? How well do you know His promises? How much are you in the Word, and how much of the Word is a part of you? Those are questions this morning that are very important that we need to ask ourselves. Because when we pray, we've got to pray with confidence. And let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 35. And the scripture says in Hebrews 10, 35, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Confidence. Don't cast it away. Okay, so if the scripture's telling us, don't cast away your confidence, it means all of us must already have confidence. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an option of being able to cast it away. If you're not holding a basketball, you can't throw a basketball. So when it says don't cast away your confidence, that means that every child born again, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you have confidence. Otherwise, you would not have come to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So we have confidence. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You see, there is something that goes with having confidence in the promises and the Word of God. When we become sons and daughters of God, we have a birthright from our Heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father. We've been born again by the will of God, and we have His DNA on the inside of us, and the very image of God is on the inside of us. And when we're born again by the Spirit of God, the image of God begins to just begin to work on the inside of us with the blueprint and the plan that He has for our life. Come on, we're made in His image and after His likeness. But after Adam sinned, our spirit died. And so when we're born again by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, resurrection life, comes on the inside of us. And we are sons and daughters of God. And we have kingdom authority. The Spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. In Him we live, we move, and we have our being. And Jesus said to His disciples, I'm giving you all authority over all the power of the enemy. We have authority. We have kingdom authority, and we have access. Come on, we have access to the throne of God. We have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have access to the sovereign God of the universe who rules and reigns and watches over everything. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. You see, the devil can't take it from you. People like to blame the devil. Or they like to blame other people. Oh, they made me so mad. I got so frustrated with them. They can't take away your confidence either. You're the one that's throwing it away. And when we throw away our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are like trashing the finished work of the cross. We are trashing the authority that God has given us. It's like taking a piece of paper and just wadding it up, you know, and throwing it into the trash can. And most of the time I miss. Hallelujah. But if you read on in that verse, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You know, there has to be some endurance. Because sometimes it doesn't come as soon as you need it. Is that right? So there is some spiritual muscles that you start to build up. If there was no resistance coming against us, we wouldn't have any spiritual muscles that we were building up. But that is how we get strong in the Lord, and the power of His might is when we persist in prayer. We've got to pray. We need the spirit of prayer. And the spirit of perseverance and that spirit of grace upon our lives. You know, studies are showing that churches are getting smaller and smaller. People, like Elder Jim said, less and less people are connecting with the church. And the truth is less and less people are praying. Prayer is the power and the energy, and you pray and then it happens. If nothing's happening in your life, you better check your prayer life. And if you're concerned about the church, then get in here for corporate prayer and let's pray. You know, I grew up in a time where we prayed. Leonard and I were over the prayer ministry, and many nights we were there till midnight because we took care of those that had come to the altar to pray, and we prayed until we prayed through. And sometimes the children were there till 3 o'clock in the morning. And people used to say, "That's going to hurt your children's grades. They need to be home in their beds. Why are you staying out so late praying?" Well, let me tell you, it never hurt our children. No, they were in the presence of the Lord with the spirit of prayer. And even if those little ones fell asleep at the altar, they were being covered and hovered over by the spirit of the living God. And today they still walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. Sometimes we make decisions based upon, "Oh, the poor little children, how are they going to do that?" No, our children went to church 4 times a week. Services were 3 hours long, and no, we had no nursery. They were in the service. And there were times that I thought, you know, they're probably not learning anything. But we'd get home and they, you know, during the week, they'd start talking to me about what the pastor was preaching. Their little spirits absorb everything. Everything. They are a clean slate. And the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's a seed and it gets planted into their hearts. And at some point in time, that seed's going to sprout and come forth. You were witnesses of our grandson Brock getting baptized a few weeks ago. The seed was planted in that child. He was in the house of the Lord. He was a part of the church plant. He was out with love and action. He was a little evangelist. Him and Aaron, they would do special numbers together and they would work together to evangelize. Well, at some point in time, we knew that he would come back to the Lord because God's word never returns void. And he has come back full force on fire for God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me finish reading this. Hebrews 10, verse 36. "You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God takes no pleasure in us pulling back. He takes no pleasure in us casting away our confidence in the Word of God. You see, when we begin to ask God and petition the Lord with our prayers, we're to continue to do that. Like the widow that went before the judge and she was relentless, and that judge got so tired of her coming. He's like, oh no, here she comes again. She actually wore him down. She just wore him down by going to him every day. But you know what? God doesn't get tired of us coming to him. But we've got to realize that when we pray, God answers our prayer if we pray according to his will. But there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are working against you because they do not want the will of God fulfilled in your life. They do not want you to have the provision that God has called you to have. They do not want you to have the position that God has called you to have, because they know that when you get it, you're going to advance the kingdom of God, and Satan hates the kingdom of God. They are opposing forces. We have the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And they are opposing forces, and there is this war that's going on. But we can't stop praying, church. We can't cast away our confidence. We know that when we give our tithe, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we cannot contain. When Pastor Leonard and I bought the theater downtown, for 5 years, the Lord had been telling him to buy it. And so when he finally, because of circumstances, you know, our leaders weren't real excited about us leaving and planting a church. And so that was a whole nother issue. And so, anyway, we're not going to go to that story because that's dealing with a religious spirit. We'll talk about that another time. But when we approached the realtor to buy the theater downtown, they wouldn't even show it to us. And you know why? Because they told him, they said, oh, you just work in a factory. You don't have the money to buy that. That's exactly what they said. Well, I want you to know, we tithed our entire married life, and even before we were married. There was not a time that we did not give. And even when we were short money, I will not rob God. The scripture says, if you rob God in tithe and offerings, I'm telling you, you are in trouble. Because God controls all finances. He controls all provision. Our responsibility is to line up with what God has asked us to do. And when we do that, the scripture says he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Well, we knew that the Lord had told him in an audible voice to buy that theater. He used to work downtown Elkhart at Vincent Bach, and he would drive by that place every day. And the Lord said, buy it. We knew that was the word of the Lord. And so we began to pray. This realtor said, no, you're just a factory worker. And see, I ran a dog grooming business, and so I just washed dogs. And then laughed all the way to the bank. Hallelujah. People pay you good money to take care of their pet. And I love pets. So anyway, a woman came along who was a realtor. And she wasn't with that company, and this particular company that had the building for sale sold only business properties, and she didn't, but she still was able to get access. And her name was Sandra Bontrager, by the way. She runs the women's spa. And she showed us that building, her and her partner. They got the keys, they took us in. We bought the building. It was really no sweat. But you see, the first people didn't know that because they didn't know about God's provision. I'm telling you, when you tithe and you give to the Lord, He watches over your assets. Our cars would last way too long for me to be happy about it. Hallelujah. You know, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be like the children of Israel and wear the same shoes for 40 years, please. But things didn't break down. We weren't sick all the time. We didn't have to go to the doctor all the time. Medical bills can just eat you alive. But God watched over us faithfully. As we were faithful to Him, He was faithful to us. And we thank God that we learned that order as very young children, because our parents taught us the ways of the Lord. And it didn't matter if we got a dollar, my mom would say, you take a dime and you make sure you put that in the offering. Or take a dime and make sure you give it to one of the deacons. And so we would do that. And so first job, we didn't hesitate. We knew 10% belongs to God, and then we get to steward 90%. Because really, it all belongs to Him. And you cannot afford not to be in financial covenant with God. You can try it on your own. You can try it on your own. But you'll fail miserably, because God has set up a plan for the economic system in the kingdom of God. And we're citizens of heaven, right? And so there is order for us to join the finances in the kingdom of God. And when Elder Jim was talking this morning about having idols, I thought, we have so many idols. And we have so many things that we worship and we put before our Heavenly Father. And that is witchcraft. When you have idols that you're putting before God, you are working with the spirit of witchcraft. When you are deciding for yourself what you are going to do, that is a root of rebellion, and that is witchcraft. And there is so much witchcraft in the United States. If you remember when President Trump went into office, the witches and the Satanesses were praying and releasing curses against him. Do you remember? Does anybody remember that? The Lord reminded me of that this week, because the spirit of witchcraft is so heavy. The spirit of witchcraft. When you have a spirit of witchcraft, you want to destroy people. You don't want to help people. You want to see them fail, and you want to see them fall. And that spirit of witchcraft, it can be described as a spiritual force that releases chaos, confusion, and fear against your mind. Come on, tell me what's going on in the United States media right now. There's so much confusion, and there is so much witchcraft and mind control and fear, negativity constantly to destroy people, to tear them down, and to get people confused. It's the same thing with this gender identity mess that's going on. It's to get the children confused by telling a child that if you're born a girl, but if you really want to be a boy, you could just be a boy. Isn't that so confusing to you? It's like my mind cannot wrap around the whole thought processes that goes through all this. And all of the number of gender identities there are now is crazy. God created us male and female. And that's what we need to speak into that mess and tell our children. God created us male and female. And we need to pray for our United States of America, because that spirit of witchcraft, it operates and it gets everyone all wound up and on edge. And it gets people working against each other. That is not what God intended. You know, we keep hearing these stories about men going into the women's locker room and And all of this stuff, you know, you just want to stand guard if you had a child in school nowadays. But then you're the one that gets in trouble. You see, it doesn't make any sense. They are tolerating so much sin in our society. The scripture says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We've got to recognize the time and the seasons that we are in and call us intolerant. It doesn't really matter to me if somebody says, I'm intolerant. I am standing on the word of God. And God is intolerant of sin. Come on. We want to accommodate everything and just pull everything in. That is witchcraft. That is confusion. That is chaos. That is people wanting to have their own agenda instead of following what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Come on. It is in that witchcraft. It'll try to manipulate you. And it's in the church. It's in the church. People who are over spiritual are usually working with witchcraft. Those people that come up to you and say, oh, I've been praying for you and I had a dream about you. That's usually witchcraft. Come on. I have dreams about you. The Lord speaks to me about you. But you don't see me coming up telling you that, trying to manipulate you with what God is telling me about you. No, God is calling me to get in intercessory prayer and to get before the throne of God on your behalf. And when I see God begin to intervene in your life and change your situation and turn it around, that's all I need. I don't need you to know what I know. But people who are so spiritual, and sometimes when you talk to them, you can't even connect to them. It's like they are so out there with their spiritual stuff that you're just like, what? You know, come on. Yeah, that's the truth. So it's at work in the church, and you've got to be aware of it. You've got to be aware of it. You've got to know when someone is trying to work you. Now, as your spiritual oversight, if the Lord told me to come talk to you, I'm going to come talk to you. Because that is my position in your life. But people who are always saying, oh, I had a dream about you. God told me this about you. When people come to me and start talking to me about that, I'll say, write it down. Write it down and I'll submit it to my oversight. And Apostle Leon can judge that, or the elders can judge that and see if that's really a word for me, or if you're just trying to manipulate what we're doing at River of Life. Come on, I'm talking straight this morning. I'm just talking straight this morning. These are the things that those spiritual aspects of the demonic powers that want to come in and cut off the true spirit of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. And work you in the flesh and get you emotionally connected with them. And then you have this emotional soul tie, because this spirit of witchcraft is very subtle and very good at speaking negativity in a very positive way. Sneaky, pulls you in emotionally, and then you get connected with it in the spirit, and you begin to lose your confidence in what God is doing. You begin to lose your confidence in the very people that God has put in your life to build you up, to pray for you. God has a plan for your life. And when you begin to connect with something that is ungodly, then you're connected to that spirit of witchcraft, and it is just working you. Come on, I think you know what I'm talking about, because all of you have probably worked in places where somebody's trying to work you. I mean, not work you, we got to work, right? We're working. We're there to advance the company. We're there to learn the vision of the company. How do you do this? Hey, I'm with you. I'm not trying to change your agenda. I'm not trying to change how you do things. I'm here to be a part of what you are doing. I can't tell you how refreshing that is when somebody comes in and says, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And doesn't come in and say, well, when I went to so-and-so church, we used to do it like this. Well, good for you. Patty cake. Yay. That's not what God's doing now. What is God doing now? We can look back. I think part of losing our confidence in God is looking back at the way it used to be. You know, all of us have got to catch ourselves. Because even in your marriage relationships, it is not the way it used to be. When you have a baby, it's not the way it used to be. And if you're looking back all the time, just yearning for those days, then you're going to be moving backwards instead of forward into all that God has planned for your marriage and your family and the joys that are set before you. And yeah, there's high times and there's low times and there's sorrowful times, but it all works together to make us the people that God's called us to be. Confidence in God. Confidence that He will keep His promises. Don't cast it away. And I don't think I ever gave you a definition for confidence, but it means all outspokenness. It means frankness, bluntness, assurance, open, making it plain. Confidence has to do with talking. When I talk to somebody, I know how confident they are in God. It comes right out. Confident. We are to be confident in God's promises. Confident in the order that He has laid out for us. And as we do our part, God always does His part above and beyond what we can even imagine or think. You see, we get into problems when we start thinking about our inability instead of how great God is. You know, in Hebrews, and we'll close with these as we're moving forward, but in Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we are approaching the throne of God because we have access. Because we're His sons and daughters, we have access. We approach the throne of grace. We approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We approach the sovereign ruler of the universe. He is the judge. I take my case to the judge. My daughter Lisa wrote a prayer petition to the judge of the universe for Brock. In June of 2013, we teach a book called Praying the Impossible. And we learned to write prayer petitions back in 2005. We started teaching that about taking a petition based upon the promises of God to the throne of God. And you get people to pray it with you. She asked me if I'd pray it with her. And I said, yes, we signed it when we started praying it June 28, 2013. And God answered that prayer April 14th, 2019, and you were witnesses of it. Well, you're not as happy as I am. I can tell. But when one soul, the angels rejoice. So the idea is never give up on standing on God's promises. Because we are praying to someone who has both the authority and the power to do it. Come on. We need a revelation of the greatness of our God. He has the authority and the power to move heaven and earth for your situation, because He loves you and He's not willing that any should perish, and He knows what you have need of. Thank you, Lord. This petition is being brought to God because of his word. It's being brought to the highest authority in the universe over heaven's Supreme Court. You see, when you begin to pray that way, and that gets on the inside of you, the angels of the Lord, you know what? They're just waiting for God's orders to help you. Does not the scripture say that the angels are servants to the heirs of salvation? You know, there are more angels helping you every day than you are aware of. There are more angels running interference for you than you can even imagine. The angels on assignment to help us in the earth today. Let's all stand. When we look up to the throne, we leave all these problems that are here. Instead of looking at the problem, looking at the circumstances, we're looking to the throne. Our scripture in Hebrews tells us that we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. You see, you got to know you need the mercy and you need the grace. And when we go to the throne, we're going to find what we need to help us. It says in our time of need. So it's in that time of need. Janice didn't look at the circumstances. She didn't call me and ask me to pray the problem. Hallelujah. But we began to pray for that healing. Father, thank you so much for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you for your sweet, sweet presence today. You just touched our hearts in a special way. Lord, I pray for those that are standing here today for strength, encouragement. Lord, that you'll continue to draw them closer to you. Lord, that you continue to restore their confidence. And the condemnation, that's the other part. Condemnation comes in to steal us, steal away our confidence. So Lord, break off any condemnation that we would have concerning ourselves if we've been condemning towards other people. Lord, just break the power of those word curses by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, whether we have spoken them or they have come against us, Father. We break them now in Jesus' name. We command them to fall to the ground. We cover them with the blood of Jesus, and we decree they are null and void and not working in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you remove and break the power of those thought patterns in our mind, God, where we try to condemn ourselves because of things that we've done, Lord, and mistakes we've made and things that we didn't do that we know that we should do. Break the power of those thought patterns by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, today we put on our helmet of salvation to protect our mind, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your thoughts, Lord. You said that we are your righteousness, Lord. You have given us robes of righteousness, Lord. You have, because of your righteousness, we are in right standing with the Heavenly Father today. God, I thank you, Lord, for every person here. Thank you for what you're stirring deep on the inside of them today. And Lord, we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give us that the spirit of the discerning spirit to know what's talking, especially on the media and social media and all of that, God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We break every unholy soul tie, every unholy emotional tie, God, that we have connected ourselves to. And if you really mean that, then do that within your heart, within your mind. Ask God to break that off so that there is nothing that is pulling you away from the will of God. There is nothing that's pulling you away from the throne of God. And I'm just sensing there are some connections that some of you know that you need to break off, because they are people that are working you and manipulating you. And you know that doesn't mean that you can't be around them. That just means you need to pray and ask God to break every unholy emotional tie that you have in that relationship and to connect it according to the will of God. You need that cleansing. That cleansing. Cleanse us, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Sprinkle our conscience with your blood. Purify us, Lord. Purify us, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless us, God, as we go from this place today. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us and keep us, and that you make your face to shine on us. And that you're gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, that you lift up your face towards us and you give us peace. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name.